back from baby hiatus. I think I finally got life under control, and I'm excited to share a new podcast episode with you today. I have K.L. Walther, the author of If We Were Us, on the podcast today, and she's amazing, and you guys are going to love getting to know her. Her book, she describes as You Belong With Me by Taylor Swift meets boarding school, and we all just fell in love with it, right? So I hope you guys love listening to her and getting to know her, because it's truly awesome, and she shares a lot of great information about her. So if you want to get to know her, listen on. If you could start by telling us about your novel that just came out, If We Were Us.
Okay, so If We Were Us, I kind of like to think of it as a mashup between Taylor Swift, I'm a just unabashed Swiftie, her classic You Belong With Me music video, and boarding school. It's a dual perspective. It's focusing on two best friends, Sage and Charlie. On the outside, they're the definition of your boy and girl next door. They grew up together. They go to boarding school together, and now as seniors, kind of all of their classmates believe they're like an end game romance. Mm-hmm. They're like munching on their metaphorical popcorn, just totally waiting for them to realize they're in love with each other.
Yeah.
And Sage and Charlie do adore each other, but not in that way. They don't talk about it, but they both recognize it, so it's not an issue between them. Instead of Charlie, Sage, you know, she actually finds herself drawn to his twin brother, but struggles with the fact that she doesn't want to be in a committed relationship until she is older. And on the flip side, Charlie charms his way from one relationship to the next. He likes the companionship, but also is, you know, quietly concealing a secret.
Yeah.
But a secret that becomes much more difficult to manage when a new boy arrives at their school. He and this kid are immediately labeled as a bromance on campus, and everyone thinks their friendship is hysterical, but Charlie starts to wonder what it would be like if they were more than that.
Yeah.
So, overall, it's a coming-of-age, multifaceted love story, both platonic love and romantic love. I kind of wanted to show readers how, you know, wonderful it is to find your person, but that is equally important to surround yourself with devoted, you know, ride-or-die friends.
For sure. I mean, you had me at You Belong With Me meets boarding school. I mean, I think we all love that music video. Like, I can picture...
Oh, it's so good.
I can picture so every good. Scene of it in my head right now. Like, that's...
Yeah.
I mean, you know that feeling. So I love that that feeling is what your book is about. That sounds amazing. And that book is out now, right?
Yeah, it came out June 2nd.
Perfect. So everybody, go buy it.
Yeah, please.
Yes.
Please.
Well, Keita, can you tell us about your journey to getting published?
Okay, so If We Were Us is, this might sound convoluted, but If We Were Us is actually the second book I wrote. What I call my novice attempt at a novel was written in phases for a college workshop. It actually was about Charlie's older sister and set on the same boarding school campus.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah, I went to boarding school and my father went to boarding school, so we both have a lot of memories that I just wanted to turn into something.
Yeah.
I had no dreams of having it published. I just wrote it for myself and for my family and a professor, of course. But once I finished it and got really good feedback, I revised it and, you know, gave it a shot. I started researching and then sent out some query letters. Needless to say, it was unsuccessful, and I permanently shelved it. Like, no one can ever read it. It's just, the prose is so, so terrible.
We all have that book.
But I did get consistent compliments about my boarding school world building, which I guess I, you know, definitely contribute in part to the fact that I went to a school like Sage and Charlie's Bexley. But then I decided to give it, you know, another go. Sage and Charlie and their love interests were side characters from that first novel. And I just, they were the type of side characters that you kind of fell in love with and knew they had their own story. So I made them the main characters and kept them at the same school. And then after much drafting, If We Were Us was born, I revised it a ton of times. And then started querying. And after a few months, as cliche as it sounds, the stars kind of aligned. I sent a query letter to Ava Scalzo at Spielberg Literary, and she's my now agent. And a week afterward, she favorited my tweet for Twitter has a Valentine's Day contest. I think it's like hashtag kiss pitch. So she ended up requesting my full, and then there were still some problems with it, so she offered me an R&R. And I was in college at this point, so I remember just blowing off my homework and, like, social plans one weekend and spent 2 days in, like, the library revising and doing some witchcraft. And, like, a week after that, she offered me representation, and it was really a no-brainer decision. She just got these characters, and she got me, so it was the right choice. I've never looked back. And then we spent a month or so revising the book before sending it out, which really tested my patience and also, you know, spiked my anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
But several months later, I was at a bit of a low point several months later. But then Sourcebooks Fire made an offer, and I was just so ecstatic. I remember my heart would just not stop beating so fast. And then I went from excited to, like, genuinely worried that I was going to have a heart attack. and it's, like, something I'll never forget. I just could not sleep. I was like, I'm going to need to call 911. It's such an amazing feeling.
That's awesome. I love it. I love, you know, that this thing that you started doing kind of just for yourself turned into a book that's now out in the world that other people get to enjoy and live through. And you know, probably, you know, resonate with and maybe even learn something about themselves with, which is what we all want from our books, right?
Right.
So can you talk a little bit more about querying? And, you know, I love that you did the, like, Twitter pitch, which I think there's, you know, there's lots of those, which people love to do. But talk to us a little bit how you approach querying, and then any tips you have for writers who are in the querying process right now.
Sure. So I guess the key word for me is just research. I mean, again, I'm a few years out of college. I was in college when I did this, so I was in, like, an academic mindset. But before I even drafted my query letter, I just got out the notebook and the pens and made a list of agents who, you know, represented young adult that had, you know, title comps that would work with If We Were Us, and along with their guidelines. I'm a very detail-oriented person, so I just wanted all the facts. And my computer just recognized that manuscript wish list and query tracker were, like, my most popular website.
Yes.
Visits.
I think that querying already takes so long that I have gone through this, you know, those feelings of, like, I don't want to put in the research, like, I don't want to spend that much more time doing it, but it is so incredibly helpful to really focus on the agents you want to query and, you know, narrow it down so you're not just, like, throwing random queries out into the world.
Yeah, and I definitely did the letters in stages too, like maybe 5 to 10 at a time, and waited for a response or, you know, their pre-warned, you know, non-response before sending out more queries. And I will admit, I had a separate section for agents who also requested a synopsis. I know everyone hates writing them, and I'm no different.
Oh, I'm like, with you
total,
there.
They had their own column, and my total attitude was, you know, maybe later down the line if it's necessary.
Oh my gosh, me too. Those are always the last ones that I query.
Yeah. Luckily, that didn't happen for me. But I was like, I don't want to.
No. There's such, querying itself is such a different type of writing than writing your novel. And then the synopsis is even worse, for me at least. I know some people can do it and don't complain, but man, I could complain about those all day long.
Oh, no. I know some writers who they write the synopsis before typing chapter one, and I just I admire, but will never understand why.
No, I could never do that.
I had to write a synopsis the other day, and it was like pulling teeth. It was terrible.
Yeah, no. No, thank you. I don't like the dentist. I don't like anything like
that. No.
Well, what would you say is the hardest part of writing for you, and then the hardest part of being an author so far?
Okay, so the hardest part of writing is word count during your drafting. I am not a consistent writer by any means. I know I love Erin Hahn, and I know she tweeted the other day that she writes very lean drafts, but in comparison, I am so bulky. Mm. It might sound really silly, but I want you to know everything about my world. I want you to have the full description of the school.
Yeah.
And I want you to know everything about my characters. I want you to have their family background, their favorite hobby, their personal style. I've been told by my agent that I am obsessed with people's outfits. So, like, I am, you know, a sucker for superfluous detail, but I'm really trying to work on it. Yeah, like, there are a ton of dances at this boarding school, and I loved, you know, like, remembering the themes from my time there. And I was like, we're going to do this theme, and I'm describing, you know, Sage's outfit like mm-hmm. this. And my agent's like, Kata, this is wonderful, but we don't need to know all of
this. You're like, yes, you do. It makes the world so much
I'm
better.
Like, I'm making you a full movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have a lot of bonus material if anyone ever wants it. Lots of cutting room floor bonus material.
I'm going to love it. So that's the hardest part of writing. And so far, you know, since you've had your book out in the world, what's the hardest part of being an author?
The temptation to read reviews. It's my debut novel, so I'm still kind of in shock that people I have zero connections with are reading my work.
Yeah.
And like everyone and their mother tells you not to do it, to read them. But when my ARCs went out, I was obsessed with NetGalley and Goodreads reviews.
Oh, I bet.
Like, some made me grin so hard, but like, oh, man, did others just sting. Luckily, I've mostly broken that habit. Like, I will admit, I'll check the Goodreads rating every now and then, but I totally avoid going down the rabbit hole of reading reviews.
I think reviews can be so dangerous. I've seen a lot of people talking on Twitter just about how, you know, people shouldn't ever tag authors and reviews.
Authors.
And, mm-hmm. and definitely if it's a negative review, don't. I mean, that's so mean to be like, oh, they have a notification. Here, read this mean review about your book.
I know. I have been getting a lot of Instagram lately, and I'm like, please just let this be nice or just a picture of the book. I don't want to read anything. And then my cousin recently read the book and wanted to write a review. And I'm like, go to Goodreads. And she wrote a review, but then, yes, just kept scrolling and scrolling. And she's like, I can't believe they said some stuff. And I'm like, Meredith, stop. And we're not talking about this. I don't do this anymore. You can do it, but you have to keep it to yourself.
Yes.
Like, I can't go back.
No. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's that idea that, yes, your book is going to resonate with some people, but of course mm-hmm. there will be people out there who it won't be the book for. Your book is not going to be the book for everyone, but
it
hurts nonetheless because it's your book. It's your baby mm-hmm. that you have, like, poured hours upon hours upon hours into.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand that. I would have a really hard time with that, too.
Yes. Well, but then again, self-promotion is also really difficult for me. Like, Liz Lawson is my hero because she shamelessly and wonderfully
self-promotes. She's amazing.
I'm such a humble and modest person, so I just hate the idea of spamming like my Twitter or Instagram followers with posts about my book or please buy my book. So I need to up my game, but I do tend to take social media breaks because I just feel.
Well, especially nowadays, social media can be a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on there. I can totally understand.
There's a lot
that.
Going on. Yeah. A lot to unpack.
Yes. Well, let's flip this question. Now let's talk about what the best part of being a writer and being an author are for you.
Okay. Ironically, again, the best part of being a writer for me is drafting, but totally different. I love just the world building and creating my cast of characters. Which, again, leads to, you know, my downfall with the superfluous detail, but like a lot of important people and places in my life inspire what I write about. So obviously the boarding school in If We Were Us is kind of inspired by my boarding school. And then I take pieces of people I know and stitch them together to make characters. So like a lot of my sister and best friend are, you know, the basis of Sage, and similarly with Charlie and his twin. So I just love building and creating people.
Building and creating your characters and getting to know them like that is the best. I love that.
Yeah, it really is. And then, of course, I love, you know, getting words down on a page, even if it's a bad day, and then rereading them, like, the next morning and, like, giving myself a little pat on the back.
Yeah, you're like, oh, that wasn't...
I love it when I like what I've written.
Yeah, that's not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
I know.
That's how I feel. So what about being an author? What's the best part so far since your book has been out in the world?
I love having people read it and relate to it and then send me like private DMs about how much the book touched them. And I love people just posting in general on Instagram about it. But the other day, one of my college friends, one of her friends of a friend, she lent the book to them and he sent me the most beautiful, touching message about how much the book meant to him and how he treasures it and related, and that just meant everything to me.
I mean, that's why we do it, right? That's, I mean, like, I started writing as, like, very therapeutic just for myself. It's, like, the best just to get things out and, like, work out my own things. But then the idea that somebody else could then relate and really, like, have positive feelings because of, you know, whatever I was doing and working out is, like, why we write, I feel like.
Right. I totally on the same page.
Yeah, I love that. That's so exciting. And you have a book that's slated to come out in 2021. Is that right?
I am. Yes.
Is that
I'm
what you were writing?
Very excited for it.
Is that what you were writing your synopsis for?
Yes. Because the thing, I had my deadline for the synopsis was, I had some time to write it. But I really just wanted to get out of the way, and I probably should have given myself more of a break. But the thing is, I'm kind of an immediate person. Like, if something is on my to-do list, I want to cross it off.
Yeah.
And again, that's not a great attitude to have in the publishing industry. But I was like, all right, I got an email. I need to write the synopsis. Yes. I'm just going to do it now. And yeah, it was difficult because I think the charm in this second book is in the little details, and those little details don't belong or have any room in a synopsis.
No. So. But you're so excited about it, and you're like, I just want to write it down.
Yes. No, I am so madly in love with this second book.
That's exciting.
I'm madly in love with the first one, but the words couldn't pour out fast enough for the second one.
That's great. I'm so excited to hear more about it when you're able to talk about it. So my next question for you is what kind of writer you are. Are you a pantser? Are you a planner? Or are you somewhere in between?
I think I'm somewhere in between, but more towards the planner end of the spectrum. Like, I don't write full detailed outlines before starting projects because a lot of my writing happens organically. But I do have the big picture in my head, and I keep a notebook with, like, scant chapter outlines, character sketches, like random snippets of dialogue, I think, before I go to sleep, and like other random thoughts. But I don't follow a big outline of any kind.
You know, I think what I love asking this question because we're all so different. I mean, everybody writes a little bit differently their own way. But I think it's just great for people to hear different ways, because like when I first started writing, I was very much in that school mindset of like, oh, I need to have the most detailed outline in the world for this to work, and that didn't really work for me. So I definitely am more of a pantser, where I just kind of like sit down, I write, I see what's gonna happen, and it works out that way. But I know other people who spend months and months and months, you know, I think you mentioned it before, like, you do a synopsis before even writing anything after chapter one. So it's just great to hear, like, we all do it differently, but we all get to the same goal.
Yeah, when I was taking, I think it was my first fiction workshop in college, this boy was working on his own novel, and he talked about how he had this, like, 25-page, like, outline of how he wanted it to go and what of his characters were like. And I was like, what are you talking about? And I don't know what worked for him. So to each his own. But, yeah, oh, yeah. My gosh, I was so, like, I hope my mouth didn't drop. But I was like, that is not how I work.
No, no. Oh, my gosh. But you know what? For some people, like, they can't do it any other way.
No, and that's, I'm glad they have found their way.
Exactly.
They're just so, yeah, I'm always surprised by people's ways. And I love how different we all are.
Yes. So my next question for you is, when did your love of writing begin?
So I've always loved to read. And I think when I was in middle school, I wrote some type of short story. And definitely don't have that anymore. It's on a long gone computer.
Yeah.
But then I needed one more class to fill a schedule in college. And I just picked fiction writing on a whim. And after my first workshop, I was just totally a goner. Like, I fell head over heels, and it's kind of been my obsession ever since.
That's awesome. I think, you know, for a lot of people, it starts off as a love of reading. It starts off as a love of storytelling and being immersed in those worlds to where you're like, oh, wait, I could make my own world. That is amazing.
Right. Yeah. That's how I felt about writing this boarding school book. Like, I have read all of the YA boarding school novels, and I just, you know, love them. And then I had just this epiphany, like, oh, well, I went to boarding school, and it's, you know, it's different than these, so I want to write, you know, my own. And
yeah,
away we went.
That's awesome. My next question, I'd love to know about your revision process and kind of what it was before, you know, having an agent and an editor and all of that look at it. What do you do before it gets to that point just on your own when you're working on your book?
Okay, so I write, I guess the best word is chronologically. I don't jump around. If I'm not happy, I write chapter by chapter, and if I'm not happy with the chapter, I don't move on to the next one until I am satisfied with it for the time being. That kind of, I know how that sounds kind of brutal, but I mean, that's what I do. Like, I will finish it. I lightly revise as I go. So I will finish a chapter, call it a day, the next morning, eat breakfast, and then scan the chapter and make some edits. That's what I do while writing the whole book. And then after I finish, I do like a much heavier revision myself, because some things might have changed, before sending it out to like a few people to read. And I give them a list of pointed questions to answer to avoid the, you know, oh, it was great, I loved this, when really I want
them specific to focus on feedback.
Something else. Yeah. So kind of based on their feedback, I deep dive into revising again. And I kind of have this saying, I forget, a writer told me this, like, one person's view is an opinion, but if it's like two or more people, like, you really need to reassess and focus on that. So I always have that saying in my mind. And now after, you know, revising however many times, I just send it to my agent to read. But that's my steady process.
Awesome. I definitely think having questions is so important, and I hope everybody does that when they send out their you know, their novel to beta readers or whoever, critique partners. That's always been really helpful for me too, having, you know, like, hey, pay attention to this or this, you know, let me know what you think about this, because then obviously that's what I want to know about, and then I'm not just making like mindless or directionless changes.
I didn't always do that. For one manuscript that is shelved, I just sent it and was like, can't wait to see what you think. And then maybe it was four people I sent it to. Their responses were, you know, positive and, you know, like, I was so in love with, you know, so-and-so, but like not what I wanted to hear, or not helpful in any way other than, you know, the love interest was, you know, adorable. So then I read something somewhere about, you know, sending the list of targeted questions.
Yeah.
And I've been doing it ever since.
That's smart.
Much more helpful.
Yes. Yeah, no, I'm with you there. I didn't do it at first. And then once I think I had a friend send me their book with the questions, and I was like, why have I never thought of that?
Yeah, why? What took me so long?
Yeah, where was my brain?
Yeah.
Well, Keita, my last question, I've been told is sometimes the hardest to answer, but I would love to know what your favorite book is right now. This is not your favorite book of all time. Just a book you've read recently that you really enjoyed.
Okay, it is the hardest question.
It is, I know.
All right, well, I'll give you kind of two, because I read them both recently. But I'm forever in love with, you know, Red, White, and Royal Blue, as many people are. Mm-hmm. I've read it so many times that it's now just labeled as my comfort read.
Aww.
So I needed to read it a few weeks ago. So I read it, and as always, it was just, just so perfect. But more recently in the young adult space, I thoroughly enjoyed Marissa Cantor's What I Like About You. You've Got Mail with, you know, 90s Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan. It's one of my favorite movies, so I'm always excited when a book is kind of comped to that, and read the author's reincarnation of the plot. And I think Marissa just pulled it off flawlessly. Like, her modern internet friends concept is so clever and just so fascinating to me, because I don't know much about that space. And her characters were so goddamn charming, and I wanted to be friends with them. So I really couldn't turn its pages fast enough. Even though it's now spoiled, I am going to read it again and again. I just really loved it and can't wait to see what she does next.
Okay, well, that seems like one I need to add to my list, because I love, you know, Hanks and Meg Ryan. Loves.
No, it's classic.
Awesome. Well,
but you need to have cupcakes on hand.
Okay.
The protagonist bakes cupcakes, and I just wanted a cupcake the whole time. So.
I will make cupcakes before I read it. That's a good tip.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for chatting with me today and telling us all about your novel, If We Were Us, that's out now, and just letting us get to know you.
Thank you. I had a great time.
Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Rose Quinn Podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed it. As always, if you did like what you hear, please rate and review and subscribe to get new episodes on your phone. If you can't rate and review, if you're listening on podcast or on Spotify or something, share the podcast on Twitter and on Instagram. See, my son really wants you to do that. My handle is at Rose Quinny, Quinny. Tell me how much you loved it, and if you have somebody that you want on it, let me know that too.